Welcome to the CMO Reset.
I'm Norman Guadagno, multi-time CMO, agency leader, and all-around marketing guy, endlessly questioning how to balance who I am with what I do.
And I'm Jeff Hadfield, longtime journalist, media person, tech industry guy, community and ecosystem builder, partnership forger, and part-time DJ.
Join us for the CMO Reset and get perspective on your work, your life, and the world we're in.
Let's dive in.
Perspective, our point of view.
In the early 2000s, I had the good fortune to work at Microsoft. Admittedly, I also had the opportunity to work at Microsoft in the mid-1990s, but turned down that opportunity to go work at a series of companies in Silicon Valley. If I had taken that earlier role, my life might have been different. Not necessarily better, but different. I remember spending a few days in Seattle interviewing for that role I didn't take in the 90s while I was still living in Silicon Valley. It was only the second time I had been to Seattle, and the first time I was on the east side where Microsoft lived. I was staying at a hotel near the Microsoft campus in Redmond, and the evening before my interviews, I went to the grocery store, Fred Meyer to be specific, to pick up some essentials. Waiting in the checkout line for reasons lost to memory, I had a quick and innocuous conversation with the guy standing in front of me, as one often does at the checkout, or at least I sometimes do at the checkout. I really thought nothing of it until the guy was one of the people who interviewed me the next day. Small world phenomenon in action, right? Anyway, I turned down that job at Microsoft, lived my life, eventually moved to Seattle for another job, and then ended up at Microsoft, and living in Redmond, and occasionally shopping at Fred Meyer, as so many do. In fact, Microsoft recently celebrated their 50th anniversary and shared the statistic that 1.6 million people have been employees over the years. I'm proud to have been one of those 1.6 million, and I took many important lessons from my time there. I'll talk about the marketing lessons at some point in the future, but a more tactical lesson is the topic right now. If you are a Windows user, then or now, you likely know something called the three-finger salute. Maybe you don't know it by that name, but you know that holding down the Control, Alt, and Delete keys all at once allows you to switch users, sign out, or go to the Task Manager. In short, the three-finger salute gives you the ability to reset your machine. That phrase stuck with me. Three-finger salute, and the handy ability to do a quick reset. Since that time at Microsoft, I have held many different jobs at software companies and marketing agencies, my career blossoming and allowing me to end up multiple times in the most senior marketing role, the CMO, Chief Marketing Officer. Being a CMO is amazing. Leading marketing organizations to grow a company strategically and grow revenue month by month is a unique and rewarding challenge. After you do it once, you most likely want to do it again and again. Of course, after 2 years, you are likely to have gotten fired or quit. The CMO role is not typically one with massive longevity, especially in today's profit and growth-oriented environment. Every modern CMO confronts this reality daily. Pipeline, demand, budgets, etc., etc. It's a harsh reality. And now everyone is worried that AI is going to take all the marketing jobs anyway. But we'll have more on that in a future episode too. Being a CMO is amazing, until it's not. I left my last CMO role and was burned out, disillusioned, and questioning if I was any good at all, and if I wanted to find out by trying again. We've all been there at one time or another, right? Then I started reading and talking more with peers, and I found I wasn't alone in these feelings. I heard stories of CMOs that made my struggles seem like a party. I saw job descriptions for CMOs that expected you to have done every single role in marketing, maybe more than once, be able to do it again, and lead a team strategically while also cutting staff and reducing budget. I heard CMOs asking endlessly, "Is the CMO role dead?" And nobody really has an answer. Is the CMO role dead? Or is it just going through a massive reinvention, much like everything else in the world around us? Can a modern CMO thrive? And if we can thrive, how do we do it? I don't really know yet, but I do know that it is time for CMOs to step back, evaluate their choices, come together in unity, hit Control-Alt-Delete, and give a big three-finger salute to their careers. And here we are. Welcome to the CMO Reset.
Discussion.
I love that. As you might imagine, I had thoughts while you were talking. I think there's a lot of interesting things that we could maybe explore for a few minutes about that. One of those I wanted to bring up were a few things that came to my mind about your mentioning the three-finger salute. And I think it's a really interesting metaphor for some of the things that we come across in our lives, regardless of whether we're a CMO, have done CMO type things, we're CMO adjacent, we identify as doing some CMO things, or we're just in any kind of role where we're overdue.
Can we get back to the point where you said you love that? I really did appreciate that to start.
Yeah, let me come back to that part. Yeah, so I love that. And I think some of the things I liked about the three-finger salute thing was I was thinking, you know, not to be nerd about it, but I was thinking a little bit about what the three-finger salute does, right? What that reset really is for a Windows user. One of them is the avoidance of the blue screen of death. Right. It's like, I do not want to crash to the point that it's going to take me an ungodly amount of time to get back to where I was, to stretch the metaphor
indeed.
A little bit.
Although for a separate thing to put on the board is, are there fewer blue screens of death in 2025 than there were in decades past? I feel like I haven't seen one in a while, and now I just jinx myself. But that's
probably
a separate topic.
And, you know, as you follow the news, they're replacing them with the black screen of death now. So, you know, that's one way. That's one way to achieve success is by moving the goalposts.
With each generation, there's a new color to the screen of death.
That's exactly
it. Go towards the blue, black light.
It's a new generation, so we should traumatize them differently. And the three-finger salute section, though, I was thinking, what does it do, right? It's like it gives you the chance to kind of just reset everything in the sense of clearing out unnecessary processes, maybe wiping some memory, just getting all those things that were causing the slowdown or the confusion or the lack of functioning out of the way. And I think, you know, not to stretch the metaphor, but heavily stretching the metaphor, that's similar to what we end up doing, right? It's like, what are the things that we're still doing that we could or should be letting go of, or the things that are going on we don't even realize, or are the things that are on our mind that are no longer important?
That's part of the metaphor, right? Is that we do a lot by routine. Some of that routine gets just shoved into the background, and we don't even realize, frankly, that, and I hate to be a computer geek about this, but we don't even realize those processes are still running in our life, still running in our mind. And thinking about this through the lens of a reset, of a Control-Alt-Delete on your career, on your life, on the moment in time is important, because you can actually, and that's part of what I love about Control-Alt-Delete, is you look in the task manager, you see those processes, and you say, like, whoa, why is that one still running? I haven't touched that in days. And so you go and you kill it, and that process goes away. And I think that that's part of what we accumulate, particularly in our lives and our work lives, and we just sort of go through these processes on a regular basis, and it makes for a fairly heavy load on us. And to be able to have that, if you will, sort of moment of looking up from above and seeing it all and saying, okay, reset, I think can give us some clarity ultimately on where we want to go.
Yeah, I think that's it. And so that's again coming back to this is the first episode. We want to bring out what we're talking about when we talk about the CMO reset and things like that. And I think again, it's fresh eyes, maximizing sort of the resources available. And I liked even when you were talking semi-pejoratively about the sort of the new job descriptions of CMOs needing to do even more than everything possible with even less than zero resources. I still
Yes.
think it's a good metaphor for us.
I appreciate that. And part of what I'm trying to do here is I want to make it clear. I love having been a CMO and now working as a fractional CMO. Maybe I'll take a full-time CMO role again in the future. It is a fabulous profession. It is one that I want to see continue to evolve and grow. But I also know because I speak to so many of my peers, I read so much, I hear so much, that it is a role under pressure, tremendous pressure, pressure to perform in a way that we've never felt before and that we're not sure what to do. And I want to create an opportunity and a forum here where we can talk about not just you and I, although right now it's just you and I, but ultimately, as we bring on guests, talk about this through the lens of this is a good thing that we do, but how do we step back and make sure that we're actually able to do it? And I also want this to be a discussion that's not about the, well, what's the best way to set up my lead flow? And should I be, looking at the demise of SEO and the rise of GEO? And like, that's not what this is about. There are plenty of great people talking about that. This to me is about this role and adjacent roles, frankly, in any executive role at some level. Right, is one that is not just under pressure, but the demands on it are changing every day. And we exist in a world where literally the world is being reinvented every day. So how do we get ourselves to a place where we're comfortable, we're happy, or as happy as we want to be, and we're able to be productive and feel good about it? Or we step back and we say, you know what, this isn't for me. And I've known CMOs who step back and said, this is no longer for me.
That reminds me of something else that came up as you were talking that I wanted to talk about a little bit too. You were talking about how the role has shifted, and I think you're saying, "Hey, it's no longer for me," is a good illustration of that role shifting. The other thing that I thought might be interesting to discuss for a minute too is that I think there's some fundamentals around what a CMO does and what we really do when we think about what's the core of someone doing marketing, let's say. And I think those are always there, but there's also some foundational marketing skills that get a new description as time goes by. And so maybe those of us that are in this space trying to figure out, do my skills translate? Something I want to mention now and that I think we'll dig into in future episodes is your skills actually translate. They just keep maybe getting a small insight, but they keep getting their name changed, or
Yes.
the way they're described is different, or the
A
keywords people are looking
absolutely.
for.
And we will talk about that in the future. And I have some specific examples about that. But you also touch on another interesting area, a discussion I was just having recently with a peer over the use of AI. And everyone's going to talk about AI on every podcast forever, or at least for the next few years until AI takes over the podcasts. But the use of AI, and as senior marketers and marketing executives, we know the good and bad of AI. One of the things we're seeing is I can ask AI to produce a marketing strategy for me, and it will produce an absolutely fine tactical strategy. If I give it enough good input, it will produce a great tactical strategy. A tactical strategy is not implementation. And the danger to marketing leaders and to the CMO, frankly, is people in other roles thinking that, well, I just have to tell the AI enough and they will produce a great marketing strategy for me and I'm good to go and I don't need a marketer or even a marketing team or even a marketer, or certainly not a CMO. However you want to think about it, it could, and we'll talk about this again in the future, of undermining the value that experience brings to this. And it's part of what I think this discussion and future discussions on this podcast will be about. Is I want all and anyone to listen, please. But at the same time, I am aiming more towards those people who have a decade or multiple decades of experience, because it changes your perception of the role and what you do as you gain that experience over time. And it's important that we stay current, but it's also important we can leverage some of that expertise we've developed, frankly, across multiple situations and multiple scenarios in decades of time.
I think that's a great place to start wrapping it up for today. In future episodes, I think we will talk more about the role of AI, the way to sort of manage expectations around AI, help those using it understand that really what it is capable of, and to make a long story short, that it is capable of doing the most absolutely average thing next. So not that it's bad, but it's certainly not going to get folks where they want to go. And even talking some more about fundamentals versus ongoing skills and how do we rename them, I think those would be great to bring up in future episodes. Let's thank everybody for joining us, and we will see you again in a future episode of the CMO Reset.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CMO Reset. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and at cmoreset.com.